How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. It's mentor moment time. Every weekend, I pick 10 minutes of our most impactful episodes and package them up for you to set you for the week ahead and give you something to think about. Today, your mentor is Aidan O'Shea, the founder of Autonomy. Aidan built Autonomy during COVID, and he built a fully remote company from the ground up. So that's exactly what he's going to teach us today. How do you build a fully remote company? So if you're a business owner struggling with the hybrid workforce, or you're thinking about starting a company and going fully remote, this is the episode for you. Here's my chat with Aidan. But first, a quick thank you to my partners. Are you an early stage founder solving problems in the food supply chain? The Green Man Group sees the value in your work and has launched the Growing Further Awards to back your vision. These awards are designed to promote startups that are driving sustainability and innovation in key areas of the food supply chain, including production, distribution and retail, built environment, and customer engagement. Enter at growingfurther.io for a shot at a share of the €100,000 cash prize and the chance to pitch your company to a crowd of industry leaders. Don't miss out. The deadline for entries is October 4th, with final judging and the awards set for January 2025. Learn more and apply at growingfurther.io. I've been recording the pod in Iconic Offices for almost 2 years, and they've supported me a lot, and they're going to support you too. They offer everything from co-working to office spaces to meeting rooms to spaces by the day. Try them for free so you can get a free co-working space or a free office for the day. Simply go to the link in the bio and enter Gary24. Thanks, Iconic Offices. So how have you approached building a fully remote company from the ground up?
Yeah, good question. Well, it's the things that you do in a fully remote business are similar to what you do in an office, right? In terms of, let's say, recruitment, onboarding, training, communications, right? Those processes are the same, but they're done completely differently, right? So we redesigned every process for remote. So how we advertise our jobs, what we write in our job specs, the questions we ask in our interviews, the tests that we might do in an interview, the skills that we test, the training and how we deliver it, our day-to-day communications, our engagement model, the tools that we use, they're all different. And they're all designed specifically for remote. Not, we didn't take things that we did in the office world and said, okay, let's just tinker with them and adjust them. We started from scratch. We designed fully and intentionally for remote.
I think that's a really interesting point, though. I think people are doing exactly what you said there. They're just taking everything they've had in the office and going, same thing, same, but different.
Yeah, and I really do sympathize with, like, if you had a successful business and you've grown it and you know what you did to grow it and, you know, you have a good business, a great culture, and it was based around an office, but now that doesn't exist. Why would you want to change that?
It's terrifying as well.
Yeah, it's change. It's really, really difficult, and the world is different. And I sympathize with employers because employees have moved on faster than employers. Like an employee who knows that they can get a job and have the flexibility to work from home and to look after their life as well as do their job. And they have lots of options, you know, so they're way out there in terms of what they want. And the employer is a little bit behind in catching up. Not every employer, obviously, but a lot of companies that are struggling with hybrid and going to continue to struggle with hybrid haven't made that mental leap, I think.
It's the analogy of I use it frequently for, you know, big companies and startups. The startup is the speedboat, the big company is the oil tanker.
Yeah.
If you're going to slow an oil tanker or change direction, it's going to take you an hour to get that 1 degree turn going, whereas the speedboat can just like crank right straight away and they're gone. Yeah. By the time the big oil tanker's turned, the speedboat's in a different city. How do big companies do it then? I'm kind of asking you to probably get out your crystal ball a bit. Like how can they take the lessons learned from you, I guess, if people are learning or listening going, oh, he's describing me, you know, I feel seen, I feel attacked. Like how do big companies take some of the adoptions that you've done and kind of apply them?
Yeah. And it's not necessarily big companies because funnily enough, some of them will have the resources and the smarts and the time to have thought about this and invested in this, right? So like, you know, if you go to the famous big tech names, they're probably pretty good at this. But it's, I'm probably more thinking, you know, businesses who aren't at that global stage.
More traditional.
Yeah, exactly. Who are really being disrupted and have always done things in a certain way. And aren't out there in the world. They may have an international business, but they don't have, you know, operations everywhere. So they're not getting all of this feedback and all this input. I think they're the ones that there's probably a large number of those in the middle, you know, not the small companies, but not the very big and very well resourced. There's probably a lot of those in the middle that, you know, again, are struggling with this. But like, but again, we see companies that, they say we're hybrid, right? And people are at home 3 days a week and they're in the office 2 days. That's probably the average, you know.
I mean, yeah, it seems
that's probably
to be.
What,
yeah.
The way it seems to be.
Monday, going. Friday at home, Tuesday, so Thursday office.
You know, I ask people, like, does that mean you're 60% remote? I mean, that's, you know, three days out of five. Or if you're four, is it 80%? Mm. Like, and that's pretty, you know, that's a bit of a shock to people to say, no, we're not. We're, you know, we prefer to be in the office, but people work from home a few days a week. You know, well, you're not really. You're more remote than you are in the office. So, again, and you ask, have you redesigned? Have you been intentional around your processes, your practices, your ways of doing things for how you engage a remote workforce? And don't know that they have.
Mm. So you started a blank slate. All new processes, new systems. How did you figure that out? Because obviously, you know, you had no legacy systems to deal with. So how did you figure out where you're going to start?
Oof, that's a good question. where do we start? We started everywhere. We look at, again, it's a people business. It's people, process, and technology is really a service business. So we need people. Mm. It's reliant on technology or it doesn't exist. So technology is at the core of what we do. So, you know, we look at the employee journey. Like, well, where do they start? They start when they see a job spec to an interview, to an onboarding, you just work through the cycle and broke it down into processes and practices across there and kind of flip them on their head and say, right, well, how do they need to be redesigned for remote? Mm. And similarly with our infrastructure, we like literally threw everything out and started again and everything was new. Everything was in the cloud. But I mean, that's probably an easier piece because, you know, all of the big providers are there already. The tools, the infrastructure, the technologies are there to do that.
What was the journey like for you? Because we touched on earlier about the kind of psychology of moving from CEO to founder. What was that and what kind of surprised you about that transition for you?
Well, the first surprise was that I did it. I didn't
surprised yourself most of all.
Yeah, I mean, again, if I was talking to you, well, I wouldn't be talking to you 3 years ago because you wouldn't have had an interest because I wouldn't have been a founder. So, that was probably the first surprise. And I suppose there's a kind of realization, even when you are a COO or an MD or whatever, there's always someone above. There's always that comfort blanket, that kind of protection or of the founder, you know, and that doesn't exist. So it, like, when you get out there and it's your business and you're up front, there's no safety blanket. And I think also, like, one realization is that your whole life is now encapsulated in what you do at work. That wasn't always evident. Nobody told me that.
Did that feel different?
It felt different. It feels different. It is still different.
Right.
It is still different today.
In what way? How do you feel it?
Well, everything you do, like you, whether it's your identity, your day to day, your weekends, it's not like you're never off. You never stop. It's not, oh, I'm working when I'm at the desk. It's not, I'm watching one of my kids' matches and I'm thinking about, oh God, how are we going to do this and what do we have to do next? And so it's all consuming. Yeah. And even, you know, we set up the business. We acquired a little business as well at the start. We invested in the business. Same time we bought a new house, we were building a new house, and you know, it was like,
you went for it.
Kind of running out.
You really did find yourself in that couple of months off.
And yes, actually, look, we talked to the bank, and the bank were oh, you work for yourself.
Oh, it's a big difference, okay, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And you used to do this and you used to earn that and you're not paying yourself the same. Yeah. And I was like, okay, don't even finish that sentence. So you do, like, it does kind of take over everything. Yeah. And again, we did it interestingly. And I say we, so there's my wife, Hillary, is co-founder as well. Because again, we were in COVID at home talking about this, questioning, challenging each other. And
sounds like she'd no choice.
Well, or maybe I had no choice. but one thing, just it wasn't, again, there was no plan here. This was not the intention. We kind of, well, circumstances and the conditions that had changed. And so we ended up working together. So not only are we, like, did I start a business? We started a business. Not only are we working from home, I'm in an office here and she's like next door. And, you know,
you really set the game to hard mode and just started playing.
If you enjoyed that chat with Aidan and you want to know more, go back and listen to the full episode. It's episode 259. It's called The Accidental Entrepreneur with Aidan O'Shea. I'll see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new episode.